while you remain standing, I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. It's not a very long verse, but it's powerful. Paul writes under the anointing of the Holy Spirit an instruction to us: quench not the Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and that with fire. Have you ever thought what that fire is? Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 29. Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. Father, do I know what I pray? Jesus, my name, amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, and our continuing messages on the Holy Spirit, we preached on the unpardonable sin. There are lots of scripture that sometimes we do not get the full understanding. Was it John that wrote and said, there is a sin unto death, there is a sin not unto death. The sin not unto death, you can pray for it. The sin unto death, don't pray for it. Sunday, last Sunday in the message, we went through the Pharisees, the religion. That's all they were. They were religious. That's all they were. They saw the miracles. They heard the message. But all they were was religious. Not only did they affect themselves by their unbelief, but they affected others. Because all of the money, all of the questions, heard themselves, is a blessing. He's guilty of sorcery. This gospel that we preach in this is the most serious thing there is in this life. People yet unborn, this gospel is here. People that are dead and gone, this gospel remains. And God said, I'll watch over to perform it. Not a jot, not a tittle, not a word of this thing. I just began to do a little thinking about this thing of fire. How many times, and I just went back and pulled up the few, where there are images that fire represents the presence of God. Now, right now, I'm going to tell you up front, don't try to stamp out the fire of God. Don't take it upon yourself to change the presence and the power of God. You can't do it. The greatest gift of God to us, of course, Christ. When I was preaching last Sunday night, I don't know where the priest gets spread. But my message last Sunday night was on the gift and the calling of the Holy Spirit. I'm a preacher because I've been called. The Bible says that all of us are called to be saints. There is a call of God upon us. We have teachers. And I apologize to that teacher. That mom and dad wouldn't get those kids out of here. God calls preachers. God calls teachers. God anoints. God calls prayer warriors. God anoints. If you do not feel a call, you need to seek the Bible for to seek the best of. You might as well speak the best of God in the world. Ask God to anoint it. Ask God to affect lives. Ask God to affect hearts by the work of God that you're doing. But it is a frequent representation of the presence of God. But I'm going to add this caveat. The presence of God with His people. Last Sunday morning, one of the great worship services I've ever been in my life. I never felt it exactly that rich and that real, that powerful. I guess I have, but never anymore. If you would look in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. There's a man of God by the name of Moses. In the desert, nothing unusual for bushes to burn. It's hot, it's arid, it's dry. But Moses, on the backside of that desert, comes walking by a bush. I bust to his own self. That's not unusual. But the reason Moses stopped, that bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. There's something about that bush that's different. When you've got to hold on to a few things because they're coming to me and you, there's something different about that bush. That bush is a habitation of God. That's not just a fire. That's not just a flame. That's the presence of the living God. Moses, you can take your shoes off your own holy ground. Moses, you can be reverent. But Moses, do not put that fire. Moses, do not quench. God is not flesh and blood. The Bible tells you God is spirit. Don't cry. Don't trust. Don't be so stupid. Just to try to stop God. Reverence God. Fear God. Love God. Obey God. But keep your hands off of that which is God. When the ark was coming back to Jerusalem, the scripture tells us, and we know what that ark was, the presence of God. The ark was on a new part, and it began to wobble. There was a man that took his hand and put it to the ark. How do you pronounce his name? He put his hand to the ark. It happened to him as it happens to everyone that touches the presence of God. He died. I'm preaching to you final messages from me, final messages from the Word of God to you, believing that Jesus is coming at any moment. If the same Spirit that dwells within him dwells with you, he's going to quicken your mortal body. Well, anything else you believe it. That's what I believe. We are the people of the end. A lady was here last Sunday night. She had another lady who used to come for the year that we were in the garage when we were out of this building because of the hurricane. And she said something to me about the message. I said, well, I've just been preaching on the Holy Spirit. She said, that was our lesson. I told you about Don Collins. I'm hearing more and more and more that there's coming a story of God Almighty to the truth and the reality and the meaning of what it is to be filled with or to be without the Holy Ghost. And it's frightening. It's blessing. It's rich. It's reform. But if you're not full, you're in danger. I'm going to take Brother Clinton and say, you may not be filled, but if you're seeking to be filled, if he comes, you're going to. This has to do with appetite. This has to do with desire. I can tell you this, people. For the most part, we couldn't give three flicks about the lack of the work of God. Where are the authors that should be filled? Where is the baptism that should be with it? People being baptized. We don't think about it. We don't care. But God said, I will come to you. I will visit you. If you turn me away, I'll go somewhere else. You are. If you think that we're so spiritual and so blessed that we can just coast, we can just ride along. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for souls. We're in a battle for truth to be what God put it here to be. Bible. And it's not once every now and then. It's not something that just comes along every now and then. This is a daily offering. Moses realized that pillar of fire, you know why? Because that's how he talked to you. He realized that fire, when it gets a dry bush, is going to make cinders out of it. Make cinders out of it. All you've got to do is go to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 1 and verse 24. And there is an offer. God only has one way of consuming, and that is with fire. In Leviticus 1:24, there is a sacrifice. I said there is a sacrifice. That sacrifice is consumed by God by only one means. He sends a consuming fire. You will get it after that. I want to ask you, do you remember the word of God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is but your reasonable service? Do you remember that? Did you present it for Him to consume it? If you did, He will consume it by one means, and that is by fire. By fire. How many of you are on fire? How many of you are on fire? We just went through a week of days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How many of those days did your sacrifice burn for God? How many days did your sacrifice was being consumed by God? You may not agree with me when I tell you, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, even so, our homes, our children, our grandchildren, they need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm greatly concerned. I think you can tell. I'm greatly concerned by the fact that there is no concern. Most people don't read the Word of God, so they don't see the signs. They don't see the evidences from the Word of God. They don't read it. They don't read it. They watch the news. I saw where a commentator said a couple of days on the news, that we're headed for a civil war. We're headed for a civil war. They didn't say a racial war. They said a civil war. I've got so much I want to say. There's only one. There's only one truth in this earth. And that's the Church of Jesus Christ. To be the Church of Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what that man in North Dakota is going to do. They say that maybe more of a concern is our land, because all of our land's nuclear is underground. We don't know anything about it. We don't know where it's at. We don't know what it is. Do you realize God said that this earth is going to be set on fire? This earth, your house, my house, your house, is going to be set on fire. That's the purposes of God. Fire is illustrated in the Word of God, of the purpose of God. He said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and that was fire. I've been praying to God that He would baptize me with the Holy Ghost. 1 Kings 18:24. The God who answers prayer, He is God. Heaven fire in this church coming with you. It's with me. We've got some people washed in the blood. Others are going on to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Some go forward. They go to prayer meeting. They seek God. They read the Word of God. They give their life to Christ. But that's not true of all of us. And I won't be happy till it's true of all of us. That our lives, that God, the God who answers by fire, He is God. We need miracles. That man needs a miracle. That's not why I'm preaching this message. I've been on these makers this morning. But I'm sick and tired of knowing that I have the Word of God. God has given me what He wants me to say, and I can't deceive Him. There comes a time when a man of God just knocks the dust off of his shoes and goes somewhere else. Paul said, I dance to you, I pipe to you, and you won't dance. Makes no difference what I'll tell you what, last Sunday morning was one of the great days that I've ever had in the presence of God. He's still moving. He's still stirring. But you still got people traveling here, traveling there, visiting here, visiting there. Go to church here, go to church there. Go somewhere else. Go where you want to go. I'm telling you, no matter where you go, this is the way it is. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God is trying to move by His Spirit. I told you about Donnie Dean calling me. He said, my God, brother, what's happened? He said, God, speak of the presence, has begun to stir me on the Holy Ghost. He said, how little attention have we paid to God the Holy Ghost? And I told him what I'd been preaching for weeks. I'm telling you, there have been times when I preached messages that were messages from the Word of God. I don't believe I've ever preached anything that wasn't the Word of God. I'm telling you what God told me to do. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He will not testify of Himself. He will testify of me. And the reason, God wants this to be the Holy Ghost, He wants you to know everything about Him that the Holy Ghost knows. I said it way back weeks ago. People said, oh, I don't need to be filled with the Spirit. He said, walk in the Spirit. How can you walk in the Spirit if you don't have so many things? And we will get to more in this, in these messages. When was the last time God went to Jesus? When's the last time God answered you by God? God help us. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, I say this every time because it was so profound. When my dear friend, Brother Walt, preached on this chapter, he said, in the book of Isaiah, the first 5 chapters, you have Isaiah pronouncing a woe on the people. Woe on the people. You get to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and lifted up, praying for the people. Dr. Lord so beautifully showed how that Isaiah wasn't pronouncing woe on the people. He said, I saw the Lord and lifted up. But there was a cure. There was a cure for all of those woes, though they were the pronouncements of God. He just had to get to where he could see himself. You need to see yourself. You've got an exalted opinion of yourself. The Bible says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. You've got an exalted opinion of yourself. So did Isaiah. But Isaiah said that God, that an angel of God, took a corner of sand from the altar that was in heaven and went down to Isaiah and touched Isaiah's lips. Took it to everybody else. We all can do it. I'm not talking to any one person. We're all guilty of it. What you need is the Holy Ghost. What you need is the fire. What you need is that call from heaven to touch you. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 3, they saw Let's look at Paul. He said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. My God is a consuming fire. The fire represents suffering in reference to the Holy Spirit. It represents God's presence with His people. It represents God's protection of His people. It represents God's cleansing of His people. Fourthly, it represents God's judgment of His people. It also represents God's divine enablement of His people. It represents God's gracious activity in the assembly of His people. Let me quote a scripture. That's what will make us come. If you would read the fourth chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse number 4 says, He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Now, when I say just judging on fire, I need to do a little study on that. This is in the Old Testament, but it's prophetic. I'm telling you, God never changes. And God has never changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm still in the Lord. I don't know if you believe it or not, but I think I believe the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. I believe there were people, not feel like you were in the New Testament, but I believe at times there were people filled with the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. Because God never changes His order of work. Whatever He does, one way, one time, they do the same way every time. Not by my normal power, by my spirit. I went through that last Sunday. That when the earth was about to form the door, God caused the Spirit to move before the first thing. When man sinned against God, God sent the Holy Ghost to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. It says, He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Take a seat. I don't know if I'm going to take time to go through all of this. Can we remember who is here? When God talking about the last days, He said there will be 7 women for every one man. Women are going to want a man in their life so bad that they're going to buy their own food and supply their own clothes. It's just one of those men. It's almost here. The rapture of the church and then these events. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon as sure as you sit in that pew. There's going to be a warfare and the blood of the wounded and the dead come due to the death of the Holy Spirit. You can't change it. That's what's coming on this earth. Get mad at me if you want to, but just make this one declaration. He at least told me. What's coming on this earth has never crossed the line of one of these. The same way that God is going to renovate this earth in this generation and in this testament time, He's going to do it in the Old Testament too. It's going to be by His Spirit. It's going to be by cleansing Spirit. It's going to be by a washing of God. I know there's some things I speak to another. I just don't want to hurt you. But your America is in ruin. Your America is in ruin. Do you hear me? This is not even the same America I grew up in. We were the one vacation in my life. Mom and Dad, 5 kids, 7 of us, we were one vacation. We went out to Coast Pass Caverns, New Mexico, every place we went. You know how many doors we locked in our house? Yeah. We didn't lock a door. You have to lock the door and get your security system in the car. Yeah. We didn't have anything. We had maybe what the other folks had. Don't know about it in our house. America's in trouble. It's not going to come out of this trouble by mind or power. It's going to come out of the church being the church full of the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit in prayer. You may not come to my house to pray, but you better pray. Let me just throw this in. There's people in this church who heard the prayer of God. Let's go back to the book of it. Just those themselves would be enough. Do you think God has lost power to heal? Do you think God has lost power to save? Do you even pray for your kids anymore? Do you even pray for them anymore? Or do you just see their faults and their wrongs? The reason God wants you to see the faults and the wrongs is so you can do something about it. God is not willing that any man perish. God is not willing that the sin taking your kids to hell will destroy them. He wants to enable you with power to break the hold of Satan, of sin. God has something greatly planned, not only for you, but for them. But I've got a question. Do you overlook their thoughts? Are you afraid to talk to them about those things? In any capacity, you should not let anything come between you and prayer. Remember this, and I'm closing. Though I know it, I'm not even strong. Remember this. That God said with him, a day is as a thousand years, and that a thousand years is as a day. You can't stop praying and quit. You can't stop asking God for that miracle and quit. You can't stop asking for it. Stop asking for it. Stop asking for it. Because it will be. And you can do it. It doesn't look like all of these things are coming. Many of you, a lot of these messages are coming. You've been through the whole world. I've seen your pictures. I give them. That God is the Lord. It's hard to pick you up when it's coming on us and preaching. But it's equally difficult to envision what's coming on us. God said in the book of Ezekiel 38:29 that this piece of property is going to fall down. This property where we're worshiping God, this piece of property, your house, your whatever you have, God said, I'm going to have to make a new heaven. I'm going to make a new heaven. I'm going to make a new earth where it is going to dwell in righteousness. My message to you this morning is our God is the consuming fire. Tonight I'm going to deal with putting it out, putting it out. And I pray that that causes me to say that we need the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'll get to it tonight. We need to be quiet. We need to stop close to us. Because when we get to do anything, that's true. I need to have a little piece of plastic. And I would burn it. You know what I'm saying? When I'm through all of it. I could put that fire out. By putting water on it. Putting dirt on it. Whatever. I could put it out. That's not how you put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. But the general wants it. I said in my office, right in the hall, yesterday, I began to think how difficult it is to restore that fire once it's gone. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to rekindle that fire. I'm doing everything I know to do to hold it down. It's not easy. I'm not saying, maybe you're not saying, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about quenching that fire. There's only one way that I am restored that it will burn again. And that is, I've got to prevent everything that quenches. Would you bow your head for me?